Hello, Q-Universe. Let's try to squish 2 weeks of incredible fighty nonsense into one tiny episode of Anything Versus Everything. Let's go.
Quick intro.
Wow.
Quick beginnings. Let's do this, Toby.
I feel like you're in a rush.
First things first, I just want to say really sorry that we didn't film one, record one last week. I know that Pumpkin in particular was really upset. I thought if I said his name now, then he will forgive us for us not doing a podcast last week.
Shout out to Pumpkin.
And that's done.
The master of avid lore.
Yes, exactly.
Literally just dictating what goes on behind the scenes, basically. With shocking accuracy, may I say.
So, talking of things dictating what's going to happen with shocking accuracy, I've been to the pet store today.
Wait, you've done
Yeah,
shopping.
I went to the pet store.
I'll save mine for next week.
And you know what they had? They had so many, obviously, so many cute animals, but they had this little fly. And no one really wanted him. And they said that he'd been in the store for months and no one wanted him because he was just a little fly. Or he might have just been a fly in general in the store. But either way, I brought him home now. So we've got a fly. Turns out this fly is actually really good at telling us what to do. It's like a little fortune telling fly. So what I've done is I've ripped some paper up and I've put six decisions here. And whichever one the fly flies to is the room we're going to, the battleground we're going to fight in today.
Okay, that sounds pretty crazy. I think, wow. I'm excited.
I know.
Hello, little fella.
He's cute, isn't he?
He's really cute.
Yeah, he's really cute.
How'd you get the collar on him? Seems like hard work.
No, he's a very well-behaved boy. Look.
Oh, yeah. Great stuff. Right, so we're going to break tradition as well. Not only are you picking the deciding device, creature in this case, we're picking two cards each this time.
To make up for no podcast last week, we've both got two contenders today. We've got to work together to see what they can come up with.
So all of the options that we've given the fly are, in fact, based around duality and duos and just a bit of synergy, if you will. Synergy being a key term in the game at the moment.
Brilliant, Toby. Well done. Well done.
Right. Without further ado, would you like to set your fly?
I haven't chosen our content. Oh, do you do it afterwards? Oh, I can't remember. It's been so long.
Okay. Let's do it now. I think we do normally do it before.
So my contenders today are, I went underwater, but I'm going to pretend they can breathe on land if that is the case,
that's fine.
I've gone for the coconut's octopus, because he's so cute and I love the coconut octopus and he's very intelligent. He's one of the only octopuses, like he uses tools very well and obviously he can hide himself in his coconut.
Does this not mark the second coconut?
Yeah, the coconut crab. I had to think. I just like the coconut animals, basically. I just like coconuts.
Yeah. Great.
And then he's teaming up with the cleaner wrasse, because I love the cleaner wrasse because I like what they've got going on. So they're the ones and they just sit around all day for like 4 hours. All these fish come to them. They're like a bit dirty. The cleaner wrasse is like, don't worry, man, got you. Cleans the little fishies.
That's so cute.
That's what he does all day. And it's the only fish that can pass the mirror test. So it means that when a cleaner wrasse looks in the mirror, he's like, dude, recognise you. Which is probably why he went into cleaning, into the beauty business.
Maybe some empathy involved there.
Yeah, he was like, oh, if he's got a bit of dirt on him, he's like, oh, goodness,
look
terrible.
So
then he sees other fish with it, and then he's like, okay.
Be the change you want to see in the world.
I don't know how many mirrors there are underwater, though. No, really don't.
Right, so I've gone...
saw you check your note on your hand then, because you've forgotten.
What are you talking about? I was just double-checking. So I've gone two extremes here. We've got one down below the surface of the ocean, and we've got one way up in the sky.
I'm interested to see how these are going to work together.
So, my first choice, and probably the least interesting choice, the starfish, the common starfish. I feel like there's a comedic element to the starfish. It just sits there, chills out all the time, does its thing, gets drifted around by the waves. Loving life. Nice and chill. Good partner.
Yeah, what's he partnering with?
And that starfish is besties with Miss Baker, the first chimpstronaut.
So,
what a dynamic that would be.
So you've just stolen my Ham the Astro Chimp idea from before, and then you just made it Miss Baker instead.
Well, no.
She's got a starfish.
This is
no
all about
reason.
Duality. It's a completely different game.
I'm
now.
So interested to see how this is going to turn out.
Right. Are you going to say...
I really thought like mine weren't super strong. I had some ideas, but I just didn't have that much. And then you came out with a space chimp and a starfish. I was like, are you even trying?
I am trying. I promise you, this is the best I can do. This is
doesn't
me
seem
at,
like it.
At 110%.
Okay. Let me read out the little pieces of paper that I've got.
Yeah.
So the first one we've got is the best road trip partners. We've got the best comedy double act. Who would make a better podcast? The best folk duo. Who would win an Olympic gold medal? We get to choose what they would win the Olympic gold medal for.
Cool.
And if made president and vice president, who would be able to ruin the country fastest?
I kind of hope it's that one.
I hope it's not that one. You are... I can't believe... Do you
okay.
want
to... Right, go set your...
Oh,
set
yeah.
your fly, set your fly.
Yeah.
Right.
There you go, Tim.
Ready? Is he stopped?
He stopped on best comedy double act.
Wow. Okay, right.
Really didn't want it to be this one because I feel like I'm going to have to come up with a stand-up routine.
You are. This is the aim of the game here is to push you to think outside of the box, Alison.
A stand-up routine.
Did you want to go first?
Well, let me think. So I'm just thinking with the cleaner ass... So if they are anything like, like an actual hairdressers talk a lot. They hear a lot of information.
Yeah.
They get a lot of stories.
Gossipy.
They have a lot going. Sometimes gossipy, but if you talk with your hairdresser in the way that you don't talk with just anyone off the street, you don't talk to your shopkeeper the way you talk to your hairdresser.
That's
you have
true.
This, like, you only meet them once every few months,
yeah.
once every few years in some people's cases, mine. And then when you just empty your guts out to them. Think about how many stories a cleaner ass would have
yeah.
if it's serving like 2,000
wow.
fish a day, and it's like, hi Janice. How are you doing today? And Janice is like, oh God, I've just had to go pick the kids up. The most crazy thing has happened to me today. I was swimming around in the reef, and the shark came along, and it just had like a spot on its nose in the shape of a star. It's not a very good story. I'm struggling to think of content from under the sea, but that's the sort of thing I'm talking about. That one wasn't very good, but imagine if... 1,000 stories.
I can imagine.
The odds are that some of the stories a cleaner ass will hear will be very good. And if a cleaner ass has got a comedy duo going on, he can be like, okay, you know how comedians are always telling other people stories?
Yeah.
So that's what's going on, is that the cleaner ass picks up loads of inspiration and they can use that to turn it into a story.
So it would be that kind of pseudo-realist comedy where it's like, telling a story like it's real, but embellishing it.
Yeah, exactly,
bit.
And sort of pretending it happened to them
so
as well.
So where does your other contender come in on this?
I'm thinking about the other contender.
You could have kind of like a good cop,
well,
bad cop.
Oh no, I'm actually thinking that maybe the Coconut Octopus is more of like a slapstick comic. So it's sort of like Penn and Teller, where obviously Teller's got more. It's more about the movement,
yeah.
and that's the Coconut Octopus. The Coconut Octopus is all about the movement.
It flails
it's
about
got,
every now
well,
and
it's,
then.
Well, I love the way it moves. Have you seen it? The way it walks along the bottom of
yeah,
it.
Yeah, really
it looks
cool.
crazy. And think about it. Think about, like, the interesting... I'm going for shapes again with tentacles. Apparently that's a thing that I'm doing now. But just think, like, I don't know. It could be, like... There's, like, Charlie Chaplin, one of the most famous comics ever. What's he... I don't know what he sounds like. Doesn't say a word.
That's
and
so
then imagine
true.
If you had twice the limbs that Charlie Chaplin did, but you've also got this coconut that you're wandering about in, and they suction the coconut onto them. So they're walking around, like waddling around with the coconut stuck to them. And just think of the comedy. It could be...
I'm on your side.
Yeah, this
here.
Is not a brand of humour
that
I'm very au fait with.
No, but there's definitely something in that dynamic in comedy.
Yeah, exactly.
Cleaner Ras is like, oh yeah, the other day I saw Jimmy, he fell over,
it's really funny.
And then
man.
The other one's the coconut octopus, like, whoop, and like,
yeah, exactly.
flips over and
yeah, he's
wiggles
the one
about.
Doing the crazy stuff, and everyone's like, ha ha ha. But the cleaner Ras is the one bringing the coconut octopus back. So when the coconut octopus is straying from the story, he's going like, ah, doing all these crazy movements, and he's like slapping the other one around the face, and then he's just doing like a comedy fall. But when he does his comedy fall, it's really funny because he's got loads of arms
an
and
octopus.
He's wailing his arms around in circles. I wish we had a camera so people could see me waving my arms around like I am.
Can confirm she is indeed waving her
yeah,
arms.
Yeah, and it's funny because it's like, whoa. But like when people do a comedy fall on a banana peel, but imagine that, but you've got more legs, and you're like, whoa!
Yeah.
And everyone's like, whoa, that's crazy. And then there's a cleaner ass like, shut up, stop your nonsense. Here's a joke about a funny stone I saw the other day that caused some sort of drama. Oh, it's all a bit sad.
It brings
it down a bit, and then the coconut octopus is like, whoa! And then he slaps him, and then it just goes up and down, up and down. It keeps the audience on their toes.
I think that there's another question within this. In terms of, is this comedy for humans or is this comedy for
ocean
creatures?
No, it's under
creatures?
The sea. I've studied this one's under the sea.
Yeah.
It's for the other creatures.
So, but how do we know what fish actually find humour in? Maybe they've got really warped senses of humour.
Oh, I can't know, Toby. I'm a bit too tired to discuss this. I don't really understand what's going on here. Or, like, dolphins laugh if you... I saw a video of a dolphin smacking someone and laughing. So if dolphins are like that, and I do know that dolphins are quite mean sometimes, but I do like dolphins.
Very clever.
Very clever. But if dolphins are like that, then maybe the whole slapstick thing would go down really well, and maybe people wouldn't particularly like the cleaner ass. But that's not what matters. It's about bringing the comedy back, sort of tying it in,
okay.
being the straight guy. And then it makes what the coconut octopus is doing funnier in comparison he's like, it's like you're not allowed to be naughty. He's the naughty one. He's like, shh, don't tell cleaner ass I'm doing this. Ah! And then everyone's like, oh, you're so naughty. This is funnier because it's forbidden.
I feel like this is a real thing already. The image is so vivid.
I really want to draw a poster for them.
You should do that. I implore you to
what
actually
would I
do that.
Oh, you can tell
yeah,
me about
Jew,
yours and
no,
I have
the
to think
Jew
of their
name.
Name.
Okay, well, I need to think of a Jew name for mine as well. But let's start off. So the starfish, right? Instantly, in my head, it's less of a... What's the term?
Mine would be called... Oh, sorry, never mind. I was going to say a lovely pair of coconuts, but it's only one coconut.
That
continues.
That one fell kind of flat. So the starfish, I see it more as a prop than anything. That's a funny prop.
It's a starfish, Toby.
Starfish, they're cute and they've got funny shapes.
I feel really bad for you because you have no chance of winning now. I actually think I did really well there, considering the content.
Well, you never know. Right, so the starfish, it's a perfect prop. Oh, Miss Baker comes in, slips on a starfish. Ha ha! The audience erupts with laughter. And then the starfish can like wiggle around and get on Miss Baker's head as like a funny hat, so that when Miss Baker gets up, she's like, ooh, wah, ha, ha, and she's got a little starfish hat on.
Well, that's cute.
No, but that's funny.
Well, it's
imagine
kind of
seeing
funny.
That in real life. You'd be like, oh my goodness.
Yeah, that's kind
so
of funny.
What it could be, I picture it like, probably more structured than that, so it'd be, you know.
Do you think?
Yeah, I hope so. So, you know, you ever seen The Mighty Boosh Live? Things like live shows
yeah.
like that, where it's like there's a story within the live show. It's not just here's a joke, here's the punchline.
Yes.
Slapstick, slapstick, slapstick. It's got a plot driving through
What's
it.
The
so,
plot?
So I'm thinking that it could be all about Miss Baker's time, maybe in Space Academy. And starfish is like the silly, like, space candidate. And, like, NASA is seriously considering sending a starfish into space to
oh,
study
Miss
us.
Baker's got to, like,
and Miss
that's
Baker's,
funny.
Like, got to prove herself. But the way it happens is Miss Baker, like, they'll have a race or something. And the starfish is really bad, but Miss Baker keeps accidentally
yeah.
pushing it into
and
the lead.
And then they're like, well, the starfish is doing really well.
And Miss Baker
like...
grows a seething resentment towards the starfish in the act. They're best friends behind the scenes.
Yeah.
So in so grows a seething resentment, but then there's this whole like redemption arc where they realise that they're both going to fail the astronaut training course
unless they work together.
Unless they work together, yeah. So it's kind of like it would be very scripted comedy.
Yeah,
I will admit, I don't think that Miss Baker and a starfish would be great at improv.
No.
Dare I say, I feel like Miss Baker might accidentally kill the starfish.
No.
I don't know how clumsy monkeys are. Or...
Oh, Miss Baker, she's an astro monkey.
Oh, chimps. Sorry.
Well, because they have to pass tests to get to space. She's a smart monkey.
So
they have to be.
Okay, great. So Miss Baker could follow a script any day. But you could write it in a way in which Miss Baker basically just does things for the starfish as part
of the plot. And then
so the starfish is just kind of there. It's still a prop more than anything.
I know what you mean. It's kind of like when people have like a piece of wool on their hand. Like you know those things that you get at arcades, and it's like that fluffy worm, and then the wiggly worm. Then you move it, and the way that you move your fingers means it looks like the worm's moving, but actually the worm is not moving. It's a stationary worm.
I feel like if you haven't ever seen one of those, this sounds really weird.
It's just a fluffy string thing. I used to love them. I used to have so many of them. I always used to get them at arcades for like 80 tickets a time, and then it's on a string, and then the way you manipulate the string with your fingers, it makes the worm go like in and out of your fingers.
Yeah,
but it looks like it's moving.
It's exactly that sort of thing. So maybe you could kind of hoist the starfish up with like some strings or something. It'd be like a bit of like a...
That's a good idea.
...puppet for Miss Baker. So basically that's the plot of my comedy routine. And I think that's actually very strong.
That was stronger than I thought it was going to be,
You can definitely throw in some... Like, maybe you could make it even funnier if the actors... Well, it's a duo, but like if the hypothetical actors that are...
Pushing
the plot forwards that work for NASA, doing air quotes here. If they think that the starfish is a human the whole time and they like don't understand that it's a starfish.
Well, because it's got two arms and a head.
Yeah, they're like, well, scientifically, humans have two arms and two legs and a head, so this must be a starfish.
I'd be worried if that's the sort of people who are sending things to space.
Okay, but can we just admit that is a funny
concept. You did better than I thought you would. You really did.
I was riding the vibe there. You did. Absolutely.
Yours has more structure than mine. I do think mine has more. I think mine involves more like...
I would say, mine has more structure, but as a result, I feel like I've diverted somewhat from the comedy duo aspect.
No, it's not a duo.
It's a duo. They're the stars of the show, but it would need probably some supporting, at least voiceover or something.
You have more thinking behind why you've done what you've done. Although, mine has more backstory. Mine has more reasoning to why they're doing what they're doing.
Yeah, that's very true.
Do you know why that is? It's because... I do the minimal amount of research into the cards that I choose before I do... And I actually knew all that about them anyway, because those are two of my favourite cards. But I do the minimal amount of research into the cards.
What are you saying about
that? So when we do these podcasts and I come in like, oh, this monkey runs at 7 miles an hour or whatever it does, and that's the reason I can do something, and you're like... Miss Bake has just got a starfish on her head. That's why we have different... I think... We come at things differently. But maybe it works for you. It works for the dynamic.
I'm like the chaos.
Do you know who's the best comedy duo here, Toby?
Is it us?
Yeah, it's us.
I was glad that the Who Would Make a Better Podcast didn't come up in case people realised that our choices might actually make a better podcast than us.
Yeah, and we were like placed third.
Maybe Paul is listening and he's like, go on. Swap them in. You're terrible at this.
Octopus.
Don't know. It could happen. Stranger things have happened. And on that note,
mine would be called Fish and Coconut Chips.
Fish and Coconut Chips. Okay, I need to think of a good name. I could maybe think of a name for the production, but not the duo.
Go on.
Space Chimps. No, sorry, that one's taken. Something the stars, because it's like a... It's got
the stars.
Double meaning.
Oh, yeah.
Monkey in the stars.
Monkey in the stars.
There we go.
That's perfect.
So, we've yet to decide a winner.
I don't want to choose a winner. You can choose a winner.
I think you won.
Okay, I win.
I'm too generous, honestly.
You can say you won if you want.
I don't know. I was going to say it was a draw, but then I think my one is just not... It's not. It doesn't stand on its own as a concept. If you explain that to someone, they'd be like, okay, but why? Like,
yeah, why but this I couldn't think of any jokes for mine, though.
Yeah, but
that's, I don't have to.
You don't have to. That's their discuss. Job.
Yeah,
you
exactly. Just I'm the not dynamic, the comedian. Though. I'm the manager. Anyway, who do you think won? Let us know by joining Cue Cards on Discord, Twitter, Instagram and Facebook. And if you haven't already, don't forget to download Cue Cards TCG today, where you can battle anything against everything.
Keep it Cue. Yeah, I actually got it this time.
Yeah, that was easy.
We hope that you enjoyed the podcast. We battled some funny things. We really enjoyed all your time here. Now it's time to go.
Bye.